Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thank you for joining us this morning, and thank you for your willingness to be informed. This is the radio station where you can get actually truly informed on the events that are happening that are shaping our lives and our future. On Mondays, as many of my listeners already know, I've dedicated this show to exposing the catastrophe, the ongoing nuclear catastrophe that we have in St. Louis, and to the citizens of St. Louis, and helping them get some real help, real remediation, and a solution. The solution to pollution is not dilution, as most of us are sorely finding out. So this morning, we actually have on the radio show with us Don Chapman from the STL Moms group, who actually really was responsible for exposing this disaster to the general public and even to activists like me. So let me introduce Don. Thank you, Don, for joining us.
Oh, thanks, Lonnie, for having us.
It's really awesome. I asked you to join us today. I've been, you know, we've missed a few times when you've had children problem or whatever, and I've so anxious to get back to you. I interviewed you back in November. It's been a while, and there's been a lot of activity since that time. The Senate bill to get the waste at the Westlake landfill has actually been passed by the Senate. It is in committee in Congress, and so we all need to be calling our Congress member and demanding that it come out of committee and get voted on. But on Saturday, this is, I thought it was very exciting that you could join us today, because Saturday we had the Adams Next Door Symposium with Dr. Helen Caldicott and Dr. Bob Alvarez. I watched it on live stream, and frankly, it was one of the best symposiums and most frank and honest presenters that I have seen in any symposium. I mean, hats off to you guys for that awesome symposium. I'd like to ask you some questions about this. During Dr. Caldicott's presentation, she said she toured the area. Where did Dr. Caldicott tour?
So Dr. Caldicott, I have enormous respect for this woman. You know, when she actually requested this tour, she said, you know, I cannot and will not come in and speak unless I have met these sites, seen the sites, and met the people. I want to meet and know. So we took her around all the legacy sites. You know, this waste in St. Louis, for those who are unfamiliar, I mean, this is the dawn of the atomic age. Mallinckrodt, you know, purified the first uranium for the bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. This waste, the waste left over from that purification, was passed around St. Louis like a nuclear hot potato. and ended up at an airport site. It ended up around the corner, you know, about half a mile away at another site. It spilled. It got into a creek. That creek flooded. And now it's in parks and backyards. It was illegally dumped at a landfill over by me that now has an underground fire burning towards it. I mean, it's a lot to take in, and she really wanted to see, and she really wanted to meet the people involved, because it's not just me.
Right.
There are so many other moms and people that are fighting like crazy for, you know, some sort of solution and to keep their loved ones from getting sick and dying.
Right, to keep people safe. It's interesting that you use that term legacy sites. Where did that phrase come from, legacy sites?
I don't know what else to call them. You know, we call it a legacy here in St. Louis because it's multi-generational, and we're finding that. So the people that were exposed in the 50s, you know, 40s and 50s, you know, it affects their children, their grandchildren. So we can't just say, oh, you can't just pinpoint, oh, it's affecting these people right here.
Yeah. Actually, if anybody who watched the symposium on Saturday, I watched it live stream. And to be honest, there was much information I already knew, but it is really astounding to hear it said outright when you say it, when it comes out of your mouth, to hear a doctor say the latency period for nuclear radiation is 4 to 80 years, and that the mutations might not happen for 5, 6, 7, 8 generations down the road. I mean,
they could be the next generation, or they could be 5, 6. I mean, when I'm glad you said that, because when she wrote that down, you know, there's this myth floating around that it's that there is this magic number, this 20-year, that it's a 20-year latency period. That's completely false. And I talked to her about that in great length, and she said, yeah, that's what they want you to think.
Well, they pick a number out of their hat. They just picked a number. That's the amazing thing. When I read Dr. Goffman's books, and I plan on starting, and I mean, this is my deal. I do want to read another book on my YouTube channel, Nuts for Art. But really, I'm in school, I work full time, and I do the radio show, so there's just not a lot of me left. But when I was reading his two books, Poison Power and Population Control Through Nuclear Pollution, which was written as a warning to us. If we didn't deal with the nuclear pollution, it would harm us dramatically. In both of those books, he outlined, because he worked at the Lawrence Livermore Lab when these determinations were being set up, they picked a number out of the hat for that 20-year latency period. And they also picked a number out of a hat for there has been really no testing on the safeness of nuclear radiation, because every test they ever had showed that even low-level radiation is harmful. Not one test ever showed that radiation did not harm human beings or life.
I know. And, you know, and I think that that's like, you know, when I heard that, and then when she stood up there and she described, and she told us, she said, I felt very sorry for her. She said, you know, she said, it's going to be hard for you. She said, you're going to see how these people became sick and why. She said, but you have to know this. She said, you have to. She said, I speak the truth. She said, I can't sugarcoat it. I'm a physician. She said, and I have to arm you with the truth, because she said, you are going to have health physicists and all these people from these agencies come to you and say, what? Oh, no, you got sick 5 years later? Sorry, you know, it's 20. Or what, you know what I'm saying? And she said, you have to understand that, you have to understand why. So it's not enough for me to tell you that's false. She said, I have to show you why that's not true.
That's right.
And to me, that was her visit in a nutshell. You know, she doesn't just come and talk about the health effects and, oh, this is bad for you and the children and this and that. She teaches you. She empowers through knowledge and through truth. Let me explain to you why what you're being told is not true. Because let me show you what it does to the human body. So when they come back and they say, well, it's low level, this, remember that I'm showing you what one particulate has the ability to do.
Exactly. You know, that's the one thing that Patty Aimino has taught us and Donna
Oh.
Gilmore has taught us is that we need to arm ourselves. We need to not be afraid of going in head on into these documents onto the NRC website and reading and arming ourselves with the facts because they rely on us trusting them. Right? They rely on
Right.
us believing that they're going to tell us the truth. So let me get back to you about the symposium Saturday. I thought it was totally awesome. The room was packed, correct? There was a full room. It sounded like it
Oh,
was a
there was
packed room.
standing room only. I mean, we had people out, you couldn't see it, but out in the hallway because we had way gone over the room's capacity.
That is awesome. I thought that was totally awesome that there's a lot of enough people there to really take this seriously to pack the room with Dr. Caldicott and Dr. Bob Alvarez. I do have to say that I was quite encouraging for me to see that the room was filled. So when this thing started, when Dr. Caldicott was there and she was looking around and she was driving around St. Louis taking a look at these sites, what was her response as she was like understanding the depth of this?
Well, I think, again, her response was as a physician. She literally, when we pulled up to Saint-Saëns Park, which is contaminated now from nuclear weapons waste that leaked into the Coldwater Creek, and then during the flood periods, which that park flooded all the time over years, the waters would come up and then
Yeah.
recede from the park. But when she saw the park and it's closed and the area they're remediating, and she saw all the houses, and she met this. Oh, she met this wonderful woman, Mary Osco, who has stage 4 lung cancer, never smoked, who's lived next to the park for 20 plus years. And, she was appalled and she was mad. She was so angry because she said, "My God, I can't probably on your show say what she really said
You
because
can say anything on this
quite a
station.
bit of profanity." She said, "I don't
Good for her.
understand what your goddamn government is doing." She said, "I
Yeah.
don't understand." She said, "I'm a physician." She said, "Pete," she said, "this is an immediate health crisis. Immediate."
Yes. That's exactly how I felt as soon. That's why I have you guys on my radio show and beg citizens to come on here because from the second I heard about this, I am dumbfounded that our elected official that. I mean, I know people want to be nice about Claire McCaskill and Roy Blunt doing all they can do, but frankly, they are refusing to admit the gravity of the situation to the
Well,
detriment.
yeah, they play a part. They play a role. They play part of a role, but they don't. I think Bob Alvarez is always wonderful. Bob says it beautifully. They'll go walk to the shore and put their feet in, but they won't jump in. They won't get in the lake.
That was another one of the participants. Bob Alvarez, this was frankly, during the symposium, the thing that really kind of got me turned on the best, like that really lit up the lights inside of me, was the fact that Dr. Caldicott and Bob Alvarez, for the first time when I've seen them together, no holds barred, man. They did not mince words about what they felt at this symposium.
They
They
didn't,
were.
and I can guarantee you they were angry because we met with them the evening before. She her other thing was, how dare they? This has been going on here in St. Louis since the 40s. How dare they just now get around to testing a park? And how dare they
Right.
creep along, slowly moving from place to place? Meanwhile, the threat of exposure exists all the way down the creek and in other places like around Westlake. This is a 70-year-old problem, and they're not just now getting around to it. And then they have the audacity to say, "Well, but funding's tight." She said, she said, "Trillion spent on nuclear weapons, and yet they can't clean up the waste
Right. And
that is
not just
sitting
the
right
waste,
here."
they're ignoring the health consequences. This is the thing, I really am just dumbfounded at how the human cost is being left out of the conversation. It's not just cleaning up the waste. Families are being exposed and are living in places where they ought to immediately be remediated and moved, at least temporarily. Like, people need to not be living right there while that place is getting cleaned up. Period.
And they feel that way. That was why, I live next to Westlake Landfill, and I can speak to Westlake. Karen grew up playing in that park. She can speak to what it was like then. But Mary Osco came out and talked to her for a long time. You know, it was very it's important to us, but it's also important to Dr. Caldicott that these people be able to speak for themselves. You know, she doesn't want to see the dots on the map. She wants to see the faces and meet the people and understand why they got involved, understand, you know, what are these kids dying of, this and that. I mean, and it just, you know, when you see somebody like that and you see her anger, same thing with Bob Alvarez, who's usually a very calm and gentle guy.
No kidding. I was stunned.
You know, when you see that level of anger and it really, you look around the room and you think, my God, if these people are this upset and angry, where are all the other elected officials? Where's the outrage?
Yes. And, you know, the reason is that the elected officials know, like, it's right there in front of them, and yet they do not have the courage. Because really, let's be frank, Dawn, you've done this long enough. We're standing up to the industrial military complex. The nuclear industry is the industrial military complex. And really, at what point do our elected officials have the courage to stand up to these people and say, you know what, it's about taking care of our people. It's not just about profit.
I know.
So,
well, and, you know, we went to Washington. We took a group of citizens to Washington, which I cannot even tell you. You know, we didn't just meet with the elected officials. We went and we met with groups and organizations. We met with the religious action community. It is shocking. It is so shocking how many people have no idea. You mentioned Hanford and other sites. They're like, oh, yeah. But they don't really understand. They haven't put it all together. Mm-mm. Guys, this is from the Manhattan Project.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, this is, come on. This it's 2016, and we are having Flint, Michigan go on here. How many times are we going to learn?
Well,
you know,
Dr. Caldicott said that quite eloquently. If we were talking about, you know, a child getting rabies or 10 children getting rabies, the news would be all over it. And in fact, what really stunned me, I have to say this, Dawn, was when I really looked at, when I first got involved in this, and I looked at the map and I was trying to understand, because I have not been to St. Louis. I've been to the airport,
right,
but I've never been to St. Louis. So I was trying to piece it together. I was kind of blown away how close Ferguson, Missouri was to the sites that we're all talking about.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
All of the time that we were talking about the social injustice and the cop killing and Michael Brown and all this stuff, and people felt like they really were getting a bird's eye window into St. Louis, the largest issue that's affecting St. Louis is not even being discussed.
It's not. And it's because of, I think, hearing her get up, Dr. Caldicott, get up and talk, that symposium, it struck me why. I thought, you know, it is because it's multi-generational, you know. You're not just telling. If you go and you tell this group of people that lives there now and lived there then that they've been exposed, it doesn't just stop with them. You know, there'll be generation and generation and generation following them, and I think that is so tough to comprehend. I think that's what they're afraid of. And that's what's different about this than Flint, Michigan, is that this will follow these families.
Right.
It will be like a black cloud. It will be like a mushroom cloud over their head for eternity.
Yeah.
For their family tree.
Well, you know, the amazing part, when I was listening to Dr. Alvarez speaking and he was talking about, you know, how the Department of Energy just keeps kicking the can down the road. They've been kicking the can down the road for 70 years now. And, you know, his anger was quite visible during the symposium. It was really kind of stunning. I mean, these are Dr. Caldicott, and I have to say it was really kind of a shock to see both of them standing up just so visibly angry. I've watched and listened to probably every speech that they've given in the last 4 years, both of them. I follow them avidly. This is the first time I've seen them so visibly angry that they were just like outraged at, like, you know, what, how are we going to move this ball forward? Because I can almost guarantee you they're not going to just leave St. Louis and forget about this issue, neither one of them.
No,
you know.
I mean, Dr. Caldicott mentioned reaching out to Senator Bernie Sanders.
Well, you know, Bernie Sanders did come out this morning and was anti-nuclear. He came
He
out,
did.
you know, over the weekend and said, we've got to slow the nuclear thing down because it's creating waste. He's the first candidate and the only candidate that will actually speak like that, because he is not beholden to any of these major corporations. So that's the value of keeping money out of politics.
And you know, and well, you and I know, I don't know if the listeners probably do, you know, he, for what he did this morning, he's going to get flung at.
Yeah, well, you know, that might actually be his kiss of death, because if you notice, I mean, part of the reason why, you know, Barack Obama, we all know that he's a corporatist, but, you know, he was pretty much promoted through the ranks by the nuclear industry. And it is not a small coincidence that when Fukushima happened on his watch, he not only told us that things were okay, he signed the legislation that's been sitting on the president's desk since 1957 to raise the allowable radiation limits in the United States, so that now, instead of warning us when 1 in 10,000 persons gets cancer from radiation exposure, they do not warn us until 1 in 26 gets cancer. And the NRC recently put up their new statistics that says we expect every out of 1 out of 1.7 people will get cancer from radiation exposure.
Which is just incredible when you stop and think of it. And it just, I will say the other thing that really stood out to me that was so sad is that, and I will say this about her, you know, and Bob Alvarez too, you know, I would think, because she's been doing this for decades,
yep.
I would think that there comes a point where you see so much death and destruction from this waste that you almost become desensitized.
Right.
You know, and I didn't get that from her. That was probably the one thing that I was absolutely stunned of, and really, I mean, it's kind of jaw-dropping to me. When I watched her meet Mary Osco, again, who's dying of stage 4 lung cancer, and she, my God, I mean, this woman was just visibly moved and upset, and we got back in the vehicle. I mean, she was so angry for that poor woman, and then when she stood up at the symposium and gave her testimony, I mean,
yes, I videotaped that on my laptop and made a video of it because it was so compelling, because right before her, and I have to say, I'm going to reach out to Denise Brock. I was dumbfounded that Denise Brock gave no response to the Native American woman about why they had to deal with, you know, there was no comment. She asked her to comment why the Native Americans are not getting the same compensation. There was no answers. It was strictly crickets. And frankly, after that 15-minute thing of her saying, come to us, the government will help you, talk to us, the government's here to help, and for her to do crickets with the Native Americans, that hurt my feelings. I'll be frank with you. I'm going to reach out to her and ask her what the obviously she has orders not to respond, because I don't know the woman, but she looks like she is a very genuine, realistic human being. You know what I mean? She's not some cold-hearted.
And I know she was very, I will say this, she was very emotional that night and nervous. And I don't think it was intentional, because I think she did go up afterwards and talk with them. I think she was taken aback by how angry Bob and Helen and the emotion of it all. Like, I did not expect that. I expected that, because I probably would have warned everyone that was attending, if I would have said, hey, man, these speakers are going to, they're going to be real.
Well, look,
tonight.
You know what the thing is with both of them that really came across quickly was like, this is serious. People have got to be angry. And I think that I honestly could see both of them holding back, a lot. I mean, like, they could have really gone into how physically catastrophic, they both know how physically catastrophic this is. They could have really laid in and put some pure fear porn out there. You know what I mean? But I could tell that both of them were holding back about being like, they didn't want to scare the residents of St. Louis. Neither one of them really wanted to scare the residents, but they wanted people to understand the gravity and why they need to be angry. I mean, like, it's not just anger for anger's sake. It's anger for, like, we are, that's why Helen Caldicott sort of lectured the crowd about voting, because people don't vote in our country. And frankly, you know, they keep voting Republicans in who really honestly are, and I know that the Blue Dog Democrats are not any better than the Republicans, but you know, the reason that we have these things going on has to do with the philosophy that business will take care of everything. We don't need any government regulations, and it's up to us, and it's, you know, the risk of people dying and being catastrophically ill and having potential mutations in the future is worth them getting rich. That's
It is. And you know, I mean that's the key here. And what really, I was so glad that she did that because, look, I'm going to tell you what. Anybody that thinks that this trip we took to DC was a fun trip is out of their goddamn mind.
Right.
This was one of the most emotionally draining things that I know this group has ever done
So let's
because
talk about that. You guys did, who did you see? Let's talk names and who would not see you. We have a half an hour. Let's explore that one, Don. Who did see you and who did not?
So we got in to see all four of our elected officials who have a say at our site. I mean, they all do in the state. So we saw Senator McCaskill and Senator Blunt. They met us. We met at Senator McCaskill's office. They both were there at the same time, which was huge. And so we talked to them. We met with Congressman Lacey Clay. We met with Congresswoman Ann Wagner. We met with Congressman Blaine Lukemire. We went to Congressman Pallone's office. In fact, there were some more, and I honestly
Okay.
cannot remember their names because we had the basic tentative schedule as we got there. But it started, like, once we were there, you know, people were like, okay, well, can you come by this office at this time? We met with the Religion Action Center. But the point is that I want to talk about the senators and the congressmen. We needed to go to Washington to meet with both of them at the exact same time. Because we need to understand, just like you mentioned with the businesses and the corporation and the politics, we needed to understand what the hell was happening politically with this whole legacy situation in St. Louis. Okay,
What
if
did
we
you
could have
find
met
out?
with,
Did you find
well,
anything out?
we sure did. I mean, if we could have met with both of them at the same time here in St. Louis, by God, we'd have done it. But it wasn't possible. And they, what's really important is they were the ones that wanted to have a joint meeting and meet in person with the group. So, yes, I mean, the lobbying going on in Missouri against this issue, and I say this issue because it's both issues, the very public lobbying going on seems to be more directed by the owner of the company, Republic Services, to Westlake Landfill in regards to keeping the waste where it is and not digging it up and not calling this site what it really is, which is an imminent disaster.
Yeah.
But there is significant lobbying across the board, especially and pressure from EPA and DOE on what is happening in St. Louis. And a lot of their propaganda, a lot of what these senators are fighting right now is being repeated on the Facebook pages. You know, this bill, this is a very unique bill. This bill is a polluter pays bill. So this is not a bill. The federal government is a responsible party at Westlake Landfill. But this bill took months and months and lots of lawyers to look it over to be
Well, look,
approved.
the bill that's passed, in my view, the way I read it, I mean, and frankly, from the laws that I've been able to see, Republic Services could be taken off the hook entirely, in my view, and this is entirely a federal government responsibility. They ought to take back all this waste
Right.
immediately. That's the bottom line is Republic Services has no legal right to it. The government ought to intervene and say, "Hey, this is ours. We're dealing with it," and give them some money for that. I mean, they, in
Well,
fact, the
they think
legislation
that there
that's been,
may have been some other dumping that could have taken place at one
I'm
place, which
sure
was
there's
huge.
other dumping.
And that would have kept Republic, that would have been them and the previous owners knowing about it.
Right,
So
of
if that's
course.
the case, then they can't get out of it. But either way, for us, the important thing about this is that, and you know, obviously Exelon is a responsible party, the
Yeah.
nuclear industry. And so you know, and the DOE. The DOE is responsible right now for Westlake, even if it doesn't go over to the Army Corps of Engineers. They are still listed as financially responsible. So they have their own, which is not part of the FUSRAP program, they have their own funding set aside for this site, which will not need to be appropriated. So there's a lot of confusion as to how this site is going to be paid for. They needed to explain to us in the committees they ran it through, and, you know, they had the CRS, you know, Congressional Research Association, I think it's the CRA, look it over. They gave, you know, two thumbs up to the bill. So that is why right now, as of right now, we have unanimous support on it. And
so,
we needed to make sure that that,
Don,
you know, we needed to understand what the committee was saying too.
Let me jump in here because I have two thoughts that are just pounding in my head. First off, you're talking about them remediating the site itself, right? So that's one issue, but was there any conversation about the responsibility to the families who are victims of this, of moving at least people within a parameter, an agreed upon parameter, out of there until, I mean, I don't think people there ought to give up their homes. But if we're looking at a 10-year project, it would be reasonable to move a certain set of families out for a 10-year period, allow the government to move it, and then people get to move back into their home. I mean, I understand that that's easy to say on paper and very hard to do in real life. But,
well, they believe that the families, I mean, they're all on board. I mean, our superintendent has come out on board that the families living within a mile right now of Westlake Landfill should have the opportunity to be voluntarily relocated. And we've been asking for that now for 2 years. We're asking it. Now, of course, you know, there's the radiation issue, and obviously there is, you're right, there is the project when they go to do work on the site. But the thing for us, this fire, I mean, even yesterday, my God, this fire's burned now for 6 years. It will continue to burn for 7 to 10 years is what they're saying. These people on a daily basis are being bombarded. And even Helen was like, this is obscene.
It is,
you know,
outrageous.
Even if there wasn't radioactive waste there, what those people are going through fire-wise, I mean, they need to be relocated. There are a few that want to stay, but there are a lot of them that just want to go. And they're not trying to take the bank. They just want, you know, offer me what's fair. Can we just go somewhere else and start over and just, you know, where we're not being exposed?
Well, what is preventing Claire McCaskill and Roy Blunt and Governor Jay Nixon from getting their heads together and creating some legislation that we can consider an emergency and have the president sign it into action so we could get funds allocated, emergency funds allocated to that?
Well, I would say stand by on that one because I think that you know, the news of the barrier being built, they are so frustrated and they're not sure that we're going to get a barrier because they can't agree on a location to put one in that doesn't leave radioactive waste on the other side of the barrier.
Look, I read that the barrier is going to take 18 months.
And that is just for, like, digging and doing the work. They're still in the plan. They can't even agree right now on a spot to put the barrier in, and they don't. This is a feat of engineering that is so much more complicated than just going in and removing the actual waste.
Look,
I mean,
what it really requires is honest science. The reason we can't figure it out is because it requires for scientists to be unattached to the outcome. It requires that scientists be committed to actually achieving the goal and being honest. And right now, our scientists, every nuclear scientist involved in this whole entire game, have their hands tied behind their backs, either intentionally or unintentionally, with propaganda. The number of scientists, nuclear scientists, who will spew out industry lies and have taken it in as fact, have not done their homework. They just trusted what, like, these standards of, oh, if there's a 20-year latency period. No, there's not. You know, but they will say it because that's what they've been trained. So this is partly why on my radio show I do talk about the social engineering, because we're not talking about hard facts. We're talking about coming up against cultural and social issues that have been drummed into people's brains repeatedly 24 hours a day on every media. So when we look at the babies of, I mean, I am still moved, and it hurts me. I'm just as angry as Dr. Caldicott and Bob Alvarez, because really, this is a national catastrophe that our media and our people are just, it's almost like we have a little nuclear war going on inside of our own country. And like Denise Brock, when she said nothing to those women at your symposium about what's going on Native American lands and why they aren't being remediated and why they're not being helped as much as anybody else. There's an attitude of, we can't speak, otherwise I get fired. And that was
Well, and
what.
I don't know with Denise. You know, Denise has been such, I will say this, Denise has been such an advocate for us. You know, I think that
I could see that, and it came out very clearly. And to be honest, I did not get a sense that she did not respond out of maliciousness. I think she did not respond out of a sense of that was her job, and she cannot. If you were to press her on this, she probably has very clear directives that she's not allowed to speak to that. That would be my
You know, and
guess.
I wouldn't know. I mean, I think that, you know, I certainly spoke with those women quite a bit, and I just, you know, we are all, even Denise, we are all part of this. I mean, even you,
Right.
any, there's this, like, I know this is going to sound horrible. It was like a nuclear family reunion.
God,
We
yeah.
are all like sisters, if that makes sense. We all are
Yeah.
branches on this nuclear family tree. And it was like, here's our sister site in Fremont that was there. Here's, you know, our Kansas City people were there. I mean, it just, this is, you know, while Westlake is complex and complicated, and that's one thing we learned in Washington, there are lots of other sites that are contaminated that people are sick at, which breaks my heart.
Which is
So we
why
have,
there's such silence on the issue.
I know, and there's this looming site at Westlake, which nobody knows what the hell to do about. And that is literally what we heard. The bill right now, as it stands, it is in Congress. So H.R. 4100, there was one hold on it, and I think that has since been taken off. So we're crossing our fingers for a vote. But
Yay.
unanimous across the board, I will say this, people are starting to wake up to this. Like, everybody that you talk with has their own personal story. The problem, again, it really is the politics. And we actually got that from Republican Congresswoman Ann Wagner, was so upfront with what the lobbying looks like behind the scenes.
Well, tell us, share that. What does it look like?
So
How does that work?
she says, guys, this may discourage you. She said, but I really think you need to know what this looks like. And she said, that's why it's more or less they called us to D.C. You know, she said, you have to understand. She said, these halls, she said, I can make a phone call tomorrow, you know, because we were discussing this issue. She said, I can make a phone call to so-and-so and say, hey, I really need you to support my bill because of XYZ, right? She said, and tomorrow, by the end of the day, I'll have four people calling me, four different congressional or senator offices from other states calling me livid and saying, oh my gosh, you're going to bump our site. You're going to take away our funding. And I mean, just screaming at me. She said, so then I have to stop every work that I'm doing on your bill and every outreach that I'm doing and put out that fire individually. She said, and I'm more than happy to do it. And she said, and the good news is, and she said this, it's all bullshit. She literally said that. She said, everything these lobbyists from Republic and whatnot are saying to block this bill is absolute bullshit.
Isn't that
She said,
illegal for them to like lie? I mean, this is the thing where you'd think that we would have something where if you're, it's one thing, you know, to be a lobbyist means you can just lobby for lies. I mean, is that really the issue? Is that it's legal to lobby for lobbying for lies? Maybe we should get up a campaign on that one. Because
I know,
that's.
right? And you know who's doing the majority of the lobbying? And of course, Republic is too. But you know who's really lobbying against this bill? EPA.
What?
Oh my God! Yes, EPA is calling. They are calling congressionals. They are calling, and they're really focusing in on the Democrats. Oh my God! This will hurt Superfund if this gets taken from us, and it'll be a vote of no confidence. And you know the response to that, Lonnie, Coldwater Creek, all these other sites in St. Louis, They're also Superfund sites. They're Superfund sites, and the radioactive waste is under the jurisdiction of the Army Corps of Engineers.
You know,
so the
a
the
reasonable
response,
response by the EPA would be, we need more funding for the Superfund sites. Instead of trying to stop it from being moved, they really ought to be asking for more money. Don, are you there? I think we just launched Don Chapman. So let me see if I can reach her again, because I'm pretty sure. See if I can give her a call back. How about that one? Let me see. I'm sorry about that, guys, but that's the way it goes. Let me see if I can dial her in again. I don't have it on redial, so I'm going to have to hit the phone number again. So, sorry about that, guys. This is what happens sometimes when we're dealing with the truth and we're talking about the EPA. You're asking me if this is unintentional? I don't think so. This is how much power that they have. So, let me see if we can get her back in on that. See if that will work. Sorry about that. We cut her off in mid-sentence. Hopefully, she'll be able to pick right up again. See what happens. If she's actually really lost, what I am going to do is 7 3 9 7. Let's see what happened.
If I don't know the number, I don't answer. So leave a message.
Well, I don't think that's it. So,
at the tone, please.
Let's try it again. Let me see if I can send her a message on Facebook, see if she can give me a call back. So let's see. 717-8296. Let's see. Let me try it again. Sorry about that, guys. I think I dialed Dawn's phone number wrong, because that does not sound like Dawn. Did not sound like her phone number. Let me try it again. Right in the middle of our conversation, here she is. She called us back. Uh-oh. Are you there, Don?
I'm here. They must have not liked what we were talking about.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. We were getting to the meat of the problem. And frankly, I really believe that that's probably close to the truth, because I will tell you what, the day that after I called all of our elected officials, my Skype was removed from my computer.
What?
Yes, that day that I had the nerve to call the elected officials and ask them about, you know, this moving these bills together, the very next day I went to go use my Skype, and Skype hit the whole program, and then the computer guy came to reinstall it, and he said, this is weird. He said, usually when you have to reinstall it, you have to put your name and everything back in. My name was already in the computer, so he uninstalled it twice to get it to act correctly, and it just never happened. So, like, our phone calls are directly linked into the whoever it is that has control over us now. So, obviously the EPA, you know?
Well, all the more reason to talk about it then. I mean, man, if they're really that worked up, no. EPA is one of the key lobbyists trying to block the bill to transfer Westlake Landfill to the Army Corps of Engineers. And we actually got that. We got that across the board, Democrats and Republicans. So that is confirmed by multiple representatives, multiple parties. And I asked, I even say, now what in the heck would they want to do that for? And it's because this is a vote of no confidence in them, and obviously what's going on in Flint. But at the same time, you know, to think that, you know, we're paying taxes, and it's one thing for Republic to do it, which is just disgusting, but for the federal government to do it. And so, you know, they were describing some of the tactics EPA was using and what they were saying and their talking points. And it's interesting because some of those talking points are actually coming out on the page. There are people, every now and then you'll get somebody post and ask a question, well, and, you know, it's such a properly, wonderfully worded question, and to hear that question, you know, that same spiel behind the scenes in Washington. So we did talk a lot about the illnesses, though, and we did talk about the federal government's program for nuclear workers and, you know, the Downwinder program as well for communities out in Nevada that have been exposed. the above ground testing of nuclear weapons. And we said, you know, obviously our community's been exposed. What about us? I mean, they're acknowledging out here that this caused harm, but they're not here. And that, I think, is where we left very discouraged. You know, there are just, it is just overwhelming how many sites across this country, and I'm sure you're used to it because of your show, but are dealing with the same exact issues we are.
Well,
not isolated by any means.
No, and the worst part, though, really, I don't know of another city where there's hundreds of thousands of people, you know, living within 10 miles like we have in Missouri. Like where you guys are, they just, without regard, put housing up where they knew there was nuclear pollution and no regard for human health. Look, I just looked this up. People need to call the EPA and, you know, I don't think we need to beat the EPA up because, frankly, this was way over their pay grade and way over their head. And we need to call them and allow and put pressure on them. So I just looked up, you guys are in Region 7 of the EPA.
Yep,
and their phone number is 800-223-0425. Locally, their phone number is 913-551-7003. And I would encourage everyone to call them. In fact, after the show, I will call them and encourage them to really release their, you know, the. It is very understandable that they are reflexive in this and that they don't want people thinking that they're horrible. They've worked hard to get the facts out. Just like in Flint, Michigan, there was a man, one of the workers, his name is De La Rios or something like that. I remembered it. But he worked for the EPA, and he was one of the primary people putting out red flags to everybody. This is going on. And it was his superiors because she was being influenced by the corporations to ignore what the boots on the ground was telling her to do.
And I think that's key right there. That is so important for listeners to understand. That has happened. We call them our guardian angels. We have people right now within every, and I mean every agency involved at Westlake, DNR, EPA, even Kansas City Foods Rep and St. Louis Foods Rep. We have people who are true blue, and they care about us, and they are worried. They want to do a good job, and they are frustrated because there is something going on above them that is blocking their ability to do their job. And sometimes, as in with the state employee, they leave and they actually write a letter and hand it over to the media and blow it out of the water. And sometimes they don't. Sometimes all they do, which is enough, is just alert us and say, listen, you guys are looking over here. That's great. Keep looking over there. Somebody needs to look here and specifically right here. You know, we get a little nudge in the right direction, and that has, throughout the 3 years that I've been working on this, that has been pivotal. That has happened over and over and continues to happen. And, I mean, even, you know, that was one of the things that spurred the trip to Washington, to be honest with you, is a few people like that nudging us saying, listen, there's some stuff going on behind the scenes that you have to understand. Because you have to know, you know, just like you said, we are, like it or not, we're in a battle.
Yeah.
You have to at least acknowledge and understand who your opponents are and the strategies that they're using and what they're saying.
Well, like this business with the EPA being the number one person to block this thing. That's outrageous. You would think that they would be relieved of this because, really, they are not prepared to handle this. It's obvious.
They're not. They're not. And that's the key. Not that they don't want to, they're not prepared as an agency to handle
right.
it. And I think what was so, you know, I'll be honest with you, my feelings were hurt when I heard that because I've talked to EPA here, and again, you're talking to lower level people, this is happening at a higher level, but at public meetings, they've come out and they've said, you know, what's your thought on, you know, transferring the site to the Corps? And EPA says, you know, we have no thought either way on that. For right now, it's a Superfund site. We do what we do. We have no say, no thought, no opinion whatsoever. To find this out, I thought, well, that's not necessarily the case, is it? I mean, on a higher level. And to give you I'll give you one actual example of this. So Senator Barbara Boxer's office asked for a letter written by the Missouri Coalition for the Environment, which is why they went with us, Ed Smith, basically saying why EPA was not the best solution for Westlake. You know, because she said, you know, getting some feedback from them that, you know, we're hurting EPA. You know, we need an organization that absolutely supports EPA on multiple issues, that thinks they're doing great things, to come out and, you know, basically say, hey, we think they do good things, but this site, it's too much for them. And so, I mean, you know, so thankfully, Missouri Coalition for the Environment and Ed Smith were more than happy to come to Washington, D.C. with us and meet with some of these representatives and tell them that in person.
So has the EPA actually begun to reverse itself? Are they still lobbying hard against the bill being transferred?
I owe a phone call this week to all those elected officials. We're doing weekly statuses. You know, it is kind of cool. I will tell you this. It's kind of like there is a team effort going on across bipartisan lines, multiple congressmen, multiple senators now, and the religious community is now involved. And we're all passing the ball nicely, trying to get this to the finish line. So I owe a phone call this week to see what the status is, and that'll probably be after our phone call.
Well,
so I will absolutely message you and let you know.
That would be awesome. Well, look, this is my thing. Did you find out when you went to Washington, like, what is the mindset of why is the media ignoring the elephant in the room that St. Louis has a serious nuclear problem going on? And why are the elected officials, like, why do people act like it's just ho-hum, no big deal? Oh, yeah, there's a nuclear waste site sitting right there and people are dying. Like,
Honestly, this is honest. This is my impression, and this is where it's the catch-22 and the listeners need to know. So my opinion, this is my opinion, but this is what we saw. They're afraid to talk about it because they're afraid of property values and they're afraid of destroying the city. However, the media will carry a story about a bunch of moms. You know, we've had very, very great results with the media. But at some point, they want and they absolutely need a comment from the elected official to verify it. And there is this great teamwork going on. So if I tell them one thing about the fire or the radioactive waste or about people in, you know, in the park or Mariosco, that's one thing. But if an elected official comes out and verifies it and goes, oh, my God, this is crazy. This is, you know, we really have to, you know, we have to come up with a solution. And to date, we don't have one. Then that makes the story, because they actually have, and that's what we're not seeing. And that was one of the things we left with the elected officials. We said, all right, behind the scenes, nobody's pulling any punches. I mean, Congresswoman Ann Wagner said, oh my God, I think Jimmy Hoffa's buried in that landfill. There's got to be something in that landfill they're scared of. And I said, that's great. Now say it to the media. Go find a camera. I mean, the media were all over the place up there because of Flint. Go find a camera, get in front of it, and say that. That's the problem. I can say it, and then it's funny. But you have a congresswoman say it and be dead serious about it, then it's different, and it changes.
Well, I think the reason that they don't want to put a camera out there and really start looking is that they are going to find that there is nuclear waste from that site that has been dumped all up and down the East Coast. That would be my guess. That company has just willy-nilly sold that stuff. If they really follow it and really, it's really obvious. I mean, honestly, I made this analogy a few weeks ago that these people, they act like teenagers who stole their parents' car and now they're caught. You know what I mean? Like, they are not acting like responsible adults. And that to me, in my view, is exactly, because any responsible adult would just, like Helen Caldicott, Bob Alvarez, they were furious. They held no punches on the symposium on Saturday. None. They were visibly angry and they were dumbfounded at the lack of response by our government.
You know, it scared me because, I mean, I saw that anger behind the scenes and I thought they'll compose themselves when they get up there. Then they didn't. I am, like, physically sore from that. I was leaning forward and rocking and my jaw, we were so tense because it was, I mean, anybody that saw it, that was tense. I mean,
yes.
She was very, you know, and so was he. He's like, look, man, I was a gumshoe for the federal government. I investigated shenanigans and misbehavings. I know when there's misbehavings going on. That's what I've been trained to do. And I can tell you it's happening. It's happening right now, people. And if anything, that should have, you know, Patty Mino's been saying that for decades. That should have stood out to everybody, and I think they did. I think they thought, man, oh no, we're not fighting a scientific battle anymore. We're fighting a political battle.
No, but actually, you know what? I don't like to call it a political battle because it's not political. It's really a fascist battle.
Yeah,
like seriously, really, it's not about politics. It's about really fascism. It's about the military running public policy and saying that human lives are worth losing so that they can have nuclear power. And instead of owning their responsibility to remediate these sites, they really have taken the option to just let people die. They really, because frankly, you know, this is the hard part that my takeaway from Saturday was that this is going to impact the capability of families in St. Louis to reproduce, because it's not just this generation, two generations down the road. If they moved everything away tomorrow, two, three generations down the road, your families are still going to be struggling with the losses that have been caused over the last 40 years.
You know, my issue too, when I stopped and looked at it, and one of the things that I really, this is the key, this is what the listeners have to understand. One of the things that we were told while in Washington, that we're told from these elected officials, that never made sense to me, but it does now. You know, when we left their offices, they're like, please stay on us. Even Senator Claire McCaskill told us, I need you to be a pain in my ass. I need you guys to be a pain in my ass. And I thought, okay, that's lip service. I never understood it. Now I get it. They need citizens to be enraged in calling. It almost gives them the excuse.
Right, exactly. And that's, in fact, exactly the responsibility of in a democracy. It is up to us to keep pushing, 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 and not just act like we're being a pain in the neck. It's our responsibility. It's
right.
For a democracy.
Because they didn't use that. They turn around and say, look, man, I got 150, you know, they're like, what the hell are you doing in my office, you know? They turn around and say, now listen, I got 150 phone calls from sick and dying people.
Exactly.
And if you don't shut the hell up, I'm sending them to your office.
Exactly. And, you know, this is my thing. I've said this several times in this radio show. I really think that 2,500, 200 people sitting at Governor Jay Nixon's office and refusing to move away, take your backpacks, take your tents with you and park it there and say, we're not leaving until you declare a state of emergency here. That, because he's obviously getting paid enough money to be able to ignore the hundreds of thousands of people that are being affected by this.
Nobody, and I mean nobody, and I mean none of the people we met with, none of our state reps, nobody can get through to Jay Nixon. Nobody.
Well, you know what? If you guys had 500 people parked on his office, it would get through.
That's what it would take.
That's really, you're going to have to do the sit-ins, you're going to have to do the camp-ins, and you're just going to have to refuse to go away because he is being paid enough. Maybe his family has been threatened. We don't know the back door that goes on there. But he's pretty committed, Don. Look, we're at 8:58 and 10 seconds now. We have less than a minute. I wanted to thank you, Don Chapman, for coming on to our radio show. I hope that you will join us again. I am going to keep reporting on St. Louis every single Monday until we get this remediated for as long as I'm on the air. Is there anything that you'd like to say pretty quickly in 10 or 15 seconds?
I just would tell people that you're going to have to be your own superhero because Superman's not coming, guys. You have to pick up the phone. You're going to have to get in the car and go to Washington.
Exactly. And put yourselves in their offices. Put your courage feet on. Do it afraid. You know what? Take action because in action, we will actually be able to create the change that we want. So thank you, Dawn, for joining us. Put your courage feet on, you guys. Call the EPA. Let's get this moved along. Thank you guys for joining us. Talk to you later.
Thanks a lot.